Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm in the middle of my fourth week talking on how to receive God's best. And I tell you, there's been some powerful things that I've said. I believe that this is changing people's lives. Most people aren't shooting for God's best. And if they are, even if they are after God's best, they think they have to do something to get God to make it happen, when the truth, it's all about us receiving God's best, not God giving. God has already released His best into our life through the power of a blessing. And so I've been talking about this, like I said, for 4 weeks, and we've covered a lot of really good things. What I want to do now is to talk about the length of a blessing, or I guess a better way of saying it is that a blessing, once it's given, can never be taken back. The permanence of a blessing, the eternalness of a blessing is what we're talking about. And this is so important, because if you try and receive from God any other way, you know what? A miracle is temporary. I've already talked about this. It's not going to last. It's not going to be abundant. If you get a miracle from God, you're going to have a crisis before you get the miracle. So if you live from miracle to miracle, you're going to live from crisis to crisis. But once you get the blessing of God going in your life, it just snowballs. It builds up. It never quits. And it just keeps growing and multiplying. And once you get it started, it cannot be stopped. Somebody is thinking, where did you get that from? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to show you this from Balaam, the story of Balaam in the Bible. It's in Numbers chapter 22, and it goes through the 24th chapter. And then there's some other times that it talks about Balaam and his transgression and the things that he did. But Balaam was a prophet of God. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions about Balaam, and I can't get all of this into one 30-minute program. And so you're going to have to look over the next few days to get the whole impact of the things that I want to say. Or you need to get this CD or DVD set that we're offering, How to Receive God's Best. It will have it on there. But Balaam is a character that started out as a prophet of God. And he started out very, very good. Look at this. When Balaam was asked by Balak, the king of Moab, to come curse the Israelites. First of all, let me just make this point. Today, what would you think if the president of the United States, in one of these conflicts that we're involved in around the world, what would you think if he went to somebody and says, I'll pay you money if you'll curse whoever, whatever country, so that we could win this battle? Most of us would laugh at that today and scoff at it, because you know what? We don't put importance on words like this. We don't believe that curses and stuff like this are real. And yet in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, I believe it says, bless and curse not. It gives us a command not to curse. The truth is that Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of our tongue. And most people don't realize it, but when you speak negatively and say bad things about people, it's a curse. There were some of you that were cursed when you were a child. You were told that you're always ugly, that you're fat, that you'll never amount to anything, that nobody in our family, you know, ever stays married very long, and that those are curses. That everybody in our family is a drunk. We have problems with alcohol or with women or with whatever. And you just sit there and you curse people and say things. Those are negative things, and they do have power. Some of you think I'm weird, but I think you're weird because you don't believe what the Word of God says. Again, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not only life, but also death. You can speak positive or negative things. And these things that you speak over people, when you're criticizing a politician, now I'm not saying that you have to agree with everything a politician does. I don't agree with very much than any politician does. But I'm saying you can voice your opinion and you could disagree, but you can do it in a way that's still respectful, and you don't sit there and use this sarcasm and just, you know, cut people to pieces. When you do stuff like that, that's a curse. And the Bible says you should not curse the ruler of your people. You're supposed to pray for those that are in authority. And we don't realize it, but we often curse people. We curse ourselves, saying, well, if I wash my car, I know it's going to rain. And many of you are, what's wrong with that? You know what that is? That's you're saying, you're verbalizing that nothing ever works right for me. It could have been dry for a whole week and not rain, but the moment I wash my car, it's going to rain. You're just saying, nothing works for me. I'm cursed. You're expressing an attitude, and there's death and life in the power of your words. And when you start speaking negative about yourself, nothing ever works for me. I never win anything. Nobody likes me. When you say things like this, you're cursing yourself. And so we curse ourselves. We curse other people. And it's dangerous. And anyway, the Bible shows that people believed in the power of words. This Balak, the king of Moab, he believed that if Balaam came and cursed the Israelites, that it would give him an edge and he might be able to defeat the Israelites. People look at this today and think, oh, how superstitious is that? I tell you what, there's more power in this than what we realize. And just by the way that God took this seriously, and I mean he got upset with Balaam, but he says, don't you curse these people. They're blessed. You will not curse them. You know, if God would have had the attitude that we have, he would have thought, well, say whatever you want to. It's not going to influence anything. No, words are important. It's powerful, and because of it, God got involved in this. But the very foundation of this whole story about Balaam says volumes. It says that words are much more important than what most people think that they are. And so this king, Balak, came to Balaam and asked him to come curse the Israelites. Here's the story in Numbers chapter 22. And in verse 7, it says, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came to Balaam and said, what man are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Remember that one of the blessings that started with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, he will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. God says, don't you curse these people because they are blessed. And if Balaam had done it, then he would have been cursed. And God was reaffirming the blessing that he spoke to Abraham. And so look at Balaam's response in verse 13. Balaam rose on the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you unto your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with them. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Up to this point, Balaam had not done anything wrong. This is a very godly response. Instead of just taking their money and the bribe that they gave him, he says, let me pray about it. He prayed about it. God told him not to go. He obeyed God, turned down their money. Up to this point, Balaam hadn't done anything wrong. And so in verse 15, it says, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. In other words, he increased the reward. He increased the bribe and offered him more, sent more honorable people, thinking that that would put more pressure on him. And look at Balaam's response. It says, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, up until this point, Balaam has responded perfectly. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better response. He prayed about it the first time. God said, don't go. The second time, he says, I don't care what you offer me. You can offer me half of your house, half of your goods. I'm not going to do anything beyond the word of my God, less or more. That is very, very good up until this point. Now, here's where I think Balaam made his first mistake. He goes on to say in verse 19, now, therefore, I pray you tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. You know, if the Lord tells you no the first time, then I think you probably shouldn't try and get him to change his mind. The Lord said, I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that Balaam right here, it says over in the New Testament that he loved the reward of iniquity. In other words, he wanted this money. He knew enough to say that I'm not going to do anything just for money. I'm going to follow my God. But he was enticed by it. He wanted it, and he was hoping that God would change his mind. He was hoping that God would let him go. And so he says, well, let me pray about it again and see if God will change. You know, if God tells you not to do something, that's probably just it. You don't need to go back and ask over and over and over and over and over again. I think this is where he made his first mistake. He hadn't acted wrong at this time, but he was beginning to lean towards Balak and towards the reward that he was offering him. And here's what happened in the verse 20. It says, and God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the man come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And did you know at this time, God was going to use Balaam. He was going to send Balaam, and instead of speaking a curse, he was going to speak blessing over the Israelites. And so God says, all right, I'll let you go. But he put a qualification on it. He says, if the man come and rise up and call you in the morning, and they still want this, then you go with them, but only speak the word that I say. In the next verse, it just says in verse 21, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. He didn't wait on them to come call him and reaffirm this thing and try and pressure him again. He had seen the Lord change and open up a crack in the door, and boom, he just went through it. He desired the money that would come with this offer. And so when he saw that the Lord was just, you know, even opening the door crack, he just ran through it. And this was wrong. He didn't follow the Lord's instructions. And the Lord knew that if he was that eager to get this money, that there was a good chance that he was going to come out and curse the Israelites instead of bless them. And so as Balaam was going with them, there was an angel of the Lord that stood there with a drawn sword in his hand, and he was going to kill Balaam. Because Balaam, even though the Lord said, all right, you can go with them if these things are done, Balaam didn't wait on any of the qualifications. He just took this as, oh, man, I can do it now. And he was going, and God got mad, and the Lord was going to kill him. But the donkey, the ass that he was riding, was able to see this angel in the spiritual realm. And because of it, he ran out through the field. He ran him into a wall one time. And finally, the third time that this angel stood in front of them, there was a wall, and there he was in a narrow place, and there was nowhere for the donkey to go. And so the donkey just fell down flat and, on the ground. And Balaam got so mad, he grabbed a stick, and he was beating his donkey. And here's what happened. It says, the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and he said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. You know, this is amazing that God spoke through this donkey and allowed this donkey to speak. That's amazing. But you know what's even more amazing is that when this donkey started talking to Balaam, Balaam just talked back to him. He was carrying on a conversation with this animal. I tell you, that is amazing to me. And he says, you know, would to God I had a sword in my hand and I'd kill you. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. In other words, his donkey got to saying, have I ever acted this way before? Don't you figure that there's a reason why I did this? I've never done this before. And this donkey's explaining his actions unto Balaam. And anyway, in the next verse, it says, the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me, and the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I had slain thee and saved her alive. And so the angel explained what was really going on. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the man. In other words, he says, all right, I'm going to let my original thing go. You can go with them, but the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak. And so God had put the fear of God in Balaam so that when he went, he wouldn't be able to curse the Israelites, but instead he would bless them. So he came to Balak. And Balak was upset and says, why didn't you come the very first time? And I had to sin twice. And he was impatient. And he was basically chastising Balaam. And here's what Balaam said in verse 38. He says, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that will I speak. And so Balaam now had come back to his senses, and he was going to speak only what God told him to do. Now, this is wrong, and I believe that he was lusting for this money. God knows the attitude of our heart. It says in 1 Samuel 16:7 that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And God knew that Balaam's heart was after this money. And this is reaffirmed in the New Testament when it says that Balaam loved the rewards of iniquity. So he loved this money. He was being motivated. The love of money is the root of all evil. And God saw his heart, and God came close to killing him, but finally said, all right, you can go, but now you only speak what I tell you to do. Now, this was wrong, but did you know that this is not what Balaam is rebuked for in Scripture? I know some of you think, well, now I thought that was Balaam's sin right there. Look at this passage over in Revelation chapter 2. And I think it's around verse 14. He says, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. That was what his sin was. Not this instance where his donkey talked to him. Now, he was wrong in that, but what the Scripture rebukes him over is not over this instance, but it's over another one that's coming up. I'll begin to get into some of it on today's program, but I'm not going to have time to explain this whole thing on today's program, so you'll have to listen in again tomorrow and put these two together to get the whole thing, or you can get our tape series. But this is important that you get this, because this is one of the most powerful things about a blessing that God has shown me through the Word. So now, here's Balaam, who is in this situation where Balak, the king of Moab, had hired him to go curse the Israelites. And yet God had warned him and says, don't you curse these people, because they're blessed. And so yet Balaam is going through the motions, but he's had this encounter with God. He's afraid to say anything against the people that God has blessed. So in the 23rd chapter, it talks about Balak bringing Balaam up and showing him the Israelites. In chapter 23, verse 1, it says, and Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by the burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place. God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by the burnt sacrifice, he and all of the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. How shall I curse him whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy him the Lord hath not defied? And anyway, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but instead of cursing the Israelites, he began to bless them. And he began to say all of these positive things about how they are going to prosper and let my end be like theirs. And in verse 11, it says, and Balak said unto Balaam, what have you done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And Balaam answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord hath put in my mouth? And so Balaam, instead of cursing the Israelites, blessed them. Because again, he had had this encounter and the fear of God was in him. So what Balak did, he says, you know, the problem is I brought you to this place and you could see the entire nation of Israel. There was at least 3 million of them. There were millions of cattle and sheep and camels. And I'm sure it was a very impressive sight. And so he said, what happened was you just got overwhelmed with seeing the entire nation. He says, I'm going to take you to another place where you can only see a portion of the nation, just a small piece of them. That way you won't be so overwhelmed with their numbers and maybe you'll be able to curse them from there. And so Balak went to a different place and they went through the same thing and they offered 7 sacrifices again. And this time Balaam went and inquired of the Lord and he came back and here's what Balaam said the second time. This is in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 18, and he took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Man, that is powerful. And he goes on and says some other things. I'm right now to the heart of some of the things I'm wanting to say, and I'm just about out of time. I'm going to have to finish this on my program tomorrow. Or you can get this tape set and get this. But this is one of the most powerful things about the blessing. Balaam is saying that once God has blessed, nobody can reverse it. When God speaks favor over you and releases it, it's not based on your performance. I'm going to get into a verse right here that really shows that clearly. And once it's given, it cannot be reversed. The only thing that can stop the blessing of God in your life is your lack of faith in it. Boy, that is one powerful truth. But if you could understand this, it would totally revolutionize the way you receive from God. So on our program tomorrow, I'll continue to talk about how to receive God's best, and specifically we'll talk about this instance where Balaam wound up blessing instead of cursing the Israelites.
I had grown up with God puts us through things to make us stronger people. You get healed if it's God's will, and if you don't get healed, then He wants you to go through it.
Listening to things that people said, like, you know, God's trying to teach you something. He doesn't heal everybody. He heals some people.
I heard people talking at church about, you know, God had a different plan and God made me sick.
The way I was raised, God would get you.
I felt like God had punished me.
The church I grew up in was big on just performance.
I was such a law-based, legalistic person and didn't even know it.
Really devastated with legalism.
I was operating in a law mindset. I had a law perspective.
Always being focused on the law.
Deep into religion.
I grew up in church.
I was raised in church.
A denomination that was very legalistic.
I came from a Baptist background.
I'm come from a Catholic.
I was raised a preacher's kid.
I was a missionary kid, grew up on the mission field. Taught the Bible my whole life, got saved at 4 years old.
And I had been in and out of church since I was 5 years old.
I was saved when I was 8, and I was saved just to stay out of hell.
Saved and stuck.
Until we heard about Andrew Womack, and he began to explain.
And Andrew just countered all of that with the Bible.
No one had ever explained those scriptures so beautifully.
It's just made me over on the inside. I'm totally different. I'm a different person.
And when I finally seen
the truth, it was awesome. And it still to this day is just amazing.
His teaching was freeing.
It grabbed my heart because I had never heard that our sins were not imputed to us, not put to our account.
This makes sense. The Bible makes sense to me. And he's reading true to what I'm reading in the Bible.
You didn't have to perform in order to gain a relationship with God, that he loved you.
It took the religion out of it and made it all about relationship.
And then everything you've studied for your whole life, all of a sudden it comes into sync. It's like, pow.
The Spirit came over me and just went, whoop, and it all lined up.
That clicked, and all of a sudden things became so real and so understandable.
And you get this revelation on the inside of you.
And I wept. I sat on the side of the road and I wept.
All of a sudden, the Bible made sense.
And now, I live in the blessings of God.
My life just changed. And it changed for the better.
Life has just gotten better and better.
Life is good when you have hope.
And God is just good.
We have a life now that we've never had before in every area.
What I found was victory, where we didn't have any before.
I really am grateful that he submitted to the Lord because I'm reaping the results of it.
Many of you may feel a desire to participate financially in a meaningful way. We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders Program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality. Call, write, or go to our website to become a partner today. And see the virtual tour of the new Charis Bible College campus online at www.awmi.net.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled The Power of Words, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen.